The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for if flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. Well, we continue the soap opera. We watched as Joseph was sold into slavery. We watched as his whole family went down into Egypt and settled in the land of Goshen, and there prospered and grew into a great, numerous people. And then a new Pharaoh comes along, a new king of Egypt. And this king of Egypt had never known Joseph. So he hadn't known all of the background that went into these people who were in the northern part of his land, right there on the border. He didn't know whether they were going to be loyal to him or loyal to an enemy attacking from the north and east. And so he was afraid. And so he determined that he would drive those people into the ground. He would make them work so hard that they could not survive. And when that didn't work, he decided that he would order the midwives who birthed the Hebrew babies to kill all the male children, that is, those who would fight, and leave the females alive. This would weaken the entire nation. Well, since the midwives were Hebrew to start with, you can guess where that went. Didn't go at all. So Pharaoh ordered all his people to kill all the male children who were born to the Hebrew people. So Moses is born. His mother hides him for as long as she can to keep him there with her. And then she puts him in a basket that's been made floatable and puts him in the bulrushes. And for whatever reason, the Pharaoh's daughter happens to come down to bathe at that precise point in the River Nile and find the baby, and decide that he is so handsome and so wonderful that she wants to adopt him. So they arrange for his very own mother to to raise him until he is weaned, about 4 or 5 years old. And then she takes the child into her own house. And that's where we leave the soap opera for today. Now, that tells us something about revelation. That tells us that God reveals himself in long-term measures. Every time the people would walk up the steps into the temple in Jerusalem, they would pause on one of those steps and consider well the psalm for today. If the Lord had not been on our side, if the history of our people had not taught us that God was a caring, loving, concerned God who was willing to do whatever it took to keep his people alive, if that had not happened, if God had not been there for us, we would have gone. So every time they entered the temple, they thought back about the revelation that God had shown them of himself throughout the history of their people. And that history didn't stop there. It didn't stop in Egypt. It went on. It came to Jerusalem. It came to the prophets. It came to the whole of the Old Testament scripture. And then jumped into the new. Because that care, that love, that concern for the people that God created is there still today. The revelation is that in history, in this world, God has acted on behalf of his people. Amazing revelation. And Paul begins there in the epistle to the Romans for this morning, because all of that love and caring and concern and grace that God has given to his people now calls his people to return the favor. And how in the world do you do that? We're talking thousands of years, millennia of concern and care and love that God has shown us. And now we have to respond. Paul says, present yourself as a sacrifice. Now, for the Hebrew people of the first century, that was a little scary. Because what happened at sacrifice was you took an animal to the temple in Jerusalem, they killed the animal, it died, and then it was offered to God, either by burning or boiling or whatever process might have been for that sacrifice. But Paul says that's not the sacrifice God wants. The sacrifice that God wants from his people is living. It is holy. It is acceptable to God. And that's the sacrifice he asks of each and every one of us. To place our lives, our living lives, on the altar of God. So that he can use those lives in his purpose for the world. To bring all people into his kingdom. And as he calls us for that purpose, the Holy Spirit descends upon us and makes us holy. And so we are living sacrifices made holy by the Holy Spirit and acceptable through the gift of Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we bring ourselves to the altar of God, and we offer ourselves on that altar, living, holy, acceptable to God. And then he begins to use the ministries that he has, with which he has graced us. Whatever that ministry may be, however we might consider it important or not important, that's not the question. The ministry that he gifts us is the ministry we must use in our daily lives and in the life of the church. See, revelation is a long-term thing, but it can also be a moment in time. Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they responded with what they had heard, and perhaps with what they believed. Some say that you're John the Baptist, come back to life. Some say maybe you're Elijah, who never died but was carried up into heaven in a chariot. And some say maybe you're one of the old prophets come back to life, like Jeremiah. Whichever of those three you might choose, they were three important choices, because they were people to whom everybody would listen. John the Baptist coming back from the dead would carry a great deal of weight. Elijah coming back from heaven into the earth would carry even greater weight. Even one of the old prophets like Jeremiah or Isaiah, even they would consider weight, and people would listen to what he had to say. But Jesus was not content with that. He said, "Who do you say that I am?" And the disciples were quiet, because they had already answered that question. "We think you might be John the Baptist. We think you might be Elijah. We think you might be one of the Old Testament prophets." But Peter, in a flash of revelation, says, "No, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You are the source of all of that revelation. You are the source of all of that acceptability to God. You are the source of everything in our lives. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Revelation can be long-term, but it can also be a thing of the moment, as God discloses to us some really vital piece of who God is. But lest you think the story is over, that same question is yours this morning. Who do you say that Jesus is? That's the vital question in our lives, because that determines how we use the gifts that God has given us, how we live into that sacrifice, how we become holy. That question hangs over our lives. And it can only be answered by each and every one of you. Who do you say that Jesus is for your life today? Amen.